Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the CDC issues new sweeping guidelines in the battle against the pandemic. Team coverage straight ahead.
COVID is also a key focus as the Fed makes a policy decision today.
Apple, Microsoft, and Alphabet report record profits. Stay tuned for reaction and analysis.
Gripping testimony from four Capitol Police officers during a House committee hearing on the January 6th insurrection. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Sports. The Yankees won at Tampa Bay. The Mets lost to the Braves, and Simone Biles has now withdrawn from a second Olympics event.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
I'm Amy Morris. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to seic.com/IMS.
We're seeing some modest gains for stocks this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up almost 9 points. Dow futures down just 3. NASDAQ futures are higher by 47 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 4/32. The yield 1.25%. Yield on the 2-year 0.20%. Amy?
Nathan will have more on the markets and corporate earnings in just a moment. But first, let's get the latest on new sweeping guidelines from the CDC. Officials are tightening pandemic restrictions as the Delta variant spreads. We have Bloomberg Radio team coverage on the latest, beginning live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Amy. The CDC says fully vaccinated people should go back to wearing masks indoors in places where coronavirus cases are soaring. Director Rochelle Walensky is also recommending masks in schools.
In rare occasions, some vaccinated people infected with the Delta variant after vaccination may be contagious and spread the virus to others.
CDC Director Walensky says the decision to readopt masks has not been taken lightly. While it may not be popular, she says it's necessary. I'm Renita Young in New York. We continue our team coverage now with John Tucker on new guidelines for federal workers. John?
And Renita, President Biden will likely announce a requirement for federal workers to get vaccinated or face strict mask and testing protocols.
The more we learn about this virus and the Delta variation, the more we have to be worried and concerned.
After visiting the office of the Director of National Intelligence in Virginia, the president told reporters a vaccine mandate for federal workers is under consideration. Just over 69% of American adults have had at least one shot, still short of the 70% goal Biden set for the country to meet by July 4th. It looks like masks also coming back to the White House. And Kate has more on that story from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Biden administration is requiring everyone on the White House campus to comply with the mask rule regardless of vaccination status. According to a memo sent to White House workers, Washington, D.C. has been recently classified as having a substantial level of community transmission. The top doctor for the U.S. House has also reimposed a mask-wearing requirement for lawmakers and all others while they are in the chamber and in hallways and offices. Those who don't may be subject to fines. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ann, thank you. Along with John Tucker and Renita Young reporting this morning. Up next, the pandemic is in focus for the Fed today. The Delta variant is likely to loom large in today's policy decision from the central bank. We get more on that from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
In June, Fed officials took note of the declining COVID case rate in talking about prospects for the economy improving. The question today is how much downside risk they attribute to the COVID rebound. Will it slow growth enough to slow inflation? That's the other big issue. The inflation rate has only increased since their last meeting, complicating the central bankers' "it's only temporary" message. More and more analysts and investors are suggesting they speed up tapering. Chairman Jay Powell will try to reassure them without moving markets. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Mike. And we'll bring you live coverage of that Fed decision in a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance. That's coming up today at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, there's news this morning on infrastructure negotiations. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the two sides are getting closer to a deal. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
There are several sticking points, transit and broadband, but Schumer sounds really hopeful.
If an agreement can be reached, and I'm very optimistic and hopeful it will be, senators should prepare to work through the weekend in order to finish the bipartisan infrastructure bill.
Schumer says good progress has been made. Republican Senator Rob Portman, who's working on the bill, also sounded optimistic, but then refers back to the transit discussions. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Let's get to the earnings picture now. We're seeing mixed reaction to a record $57 billion in combined profit from Apple, Microsoft, and Alphabet. Let's begin with Apple. The shares are up almost, or down almost 1% after the company warned sales growth is slowing and supplies are getting tight. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
On the conference call, Apple said that supply constraints will affect the iPhone and iPad in the current quarter. Decelerating demand for services also will drive the slowdown. The cautious remarks followed a sales gain of 36% in the third quarter, with revenue of $81.4 billion that shattered Wall Street's $73.8 billion estimate. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And on the flip side of that, shares of Alphabet are up more than 3%. The Google owner beat estimates for profit and revenue, cementing its status as the world's most potent advertising engine. Revenue at Alphabet's cloud unit also outperformed, rising 54%.
Microsoft shares are up about 0.5% in early trading. The company had a robust quarter, but there are concerns its cloud business is slowing down. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The software giant's Azure cloud unit saw sales growth of 45% in the quarter, stripping out currency fluctuations. But that represents a drop from the prior period and left investors disappointed. But it wasn't all gloomy. Microsoft's overall sales and profit beat expectations for a 10th straight quarter. And executives said demand remains healthy. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ed, thank you. Futures mixed right now. S&P futures up 8, Dow futures down 4, NASDAQ futures up 44 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headline. Lines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Nathan. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Former President Donald Trump's allies could face subpoenas in a House committee's investigation into the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Yesterday's hearing centered on gripping testimony from four officers who helped defend the Capitol, including Officer Harry Dunn, who is black. Dunn, who testified he was called racial slurs by the rioters, was asked if what he saw is America.
To answer your question, frankly, I guess it is America. It shouldn't be, but I guess that's the way that things are. I don't condone it. I don't like it.
Officer Harry Dunn, seven Democrats and only two Republicans served on the committee, including Representative Liz Cheney.
The investigation is going to go wherever it may lead. And obviously the events of that day at the White House are a focus, and making sure that we get to the bottom of everything that went on. Every minute of the day is something the American people deserve.
Cheney called the hearing an important opportunity to get some facts on the table. Last week, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy withdrew the GOP nominees after Speaker Nancy Pelosi denied the appointments of Representative Jim Jordan and Representative Jim Banks. Representative Pete Sessions says that Republicans wanted to take part in this committee, but felt the Speaker overstepped her bounds by rejecting their picks.
It is not right to deny our opportunity for people who would be able to effectively not just understand what happened, but be able to argue the facts of the case.
Sessions spoke to ABC. President Joe Biden will travel to a truck factory in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania today to advocate for government investments and clean energy as ways to strengthen U.S. manufacturing. A tropical storm has dumped rain in parts of northern Japan. There has been little of the disruption to the Olympics that had been feared. An unreleased Wu-Tang Clan album forfeited by Martin Shkreli after his fraud conviction has been sold. Federal authorities announced the sale, saying proceeds would fully satisfy the remainder of what Shkreli owes on a $7.4 million forfeiture he ordered and faced after his 2018 sentencing. The entrepreneur, known as Farmer Bro, once boasted of paying $2 million for the album. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. Mets are hoping to add some reinforcement to their pitching staff. Carlos Carrasco, acquired in the offseason, has yet to make his Mets debut, but he might start Friday. Mets are hoping Noah Syndergaard can make his season debut soon. They may look to add a pitcher in a trade before the deadline. Last night they started Jarad Eichhoff. That did not go well. Atlanta led 10-0 in the fourth inning. Eichhoff gave up all 10. Three home runs, including a grand slam by Austin Riley. The Braves won 12-5. Washington beat the Phillies, so the Mets remain 3.5 games out of the Phils. They're up 4 on the Braves. Yankees a much-needed 4-3 win at Tampa Bay. Gio Urshela back from the COVID list. Had 2 doubles, 2 RBIs. Jordan Montgomery with 5 scoreless innings got the win. Aroldis Chapman the save. At the Olympics, an easy win for the U.S. men's basketball team. A gold medal for Katie Ledecky. But the big story continues to be Simone Biles. Greatest gymnast ever. Tokyo was to be her send-off to retirement. But it's not known if she'll compete anymore. She started but did not finish. The team competition has now withdrawn from the upcoming all-around. She admits to dealing with things internally. Was asked about advice to others.
Put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are.
Ledecky's gold medal came in a swimming event that has always been her specialty, but was never before in the Olympics, the 1500 meters. The basketball victory, 120-66 over Iran. Damian Lillard scored 21 points. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Amy.
All right, thank you, John. And futures are mixed on Wall Street. S&P futures up 8, Dow futures down 5, NASDAQ futures up 41.5. Much more still to come on this Wednesday morning. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. Checking weather, plenty of clouds today. Chance of afternoon showers. We'll get up to 80 degrees. The showers ending tonight. The clouds will stick around as we go down to 65. Sunshine tomorrow, going up to 85 degrees at 70 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are fluctuating this morning as investors weigh swings in China's market and earnings from U.S. tech majors. Treasuries are holding a climb ahead of the Fed's policy decision today. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 8.5 points, Dow futures down 2, NASDAQ futures up 40 points. Germany's DAX up 0.3%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.8%. The 10-year Treasury is down 5/32. The yield 1.25%. Yield on the 2-year 0.20%. NYMEX crude up 1.2%, up 89 cents, $72.55 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up $1.10 at $18.05.10 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1821 against the dollar. The yen is at 109.95. The Fed's July policy decision due out at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Before that, we get MBA mortgage applications at 7. Retail and wholesale inventories come out at 8. Facebook, among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Senators and the White House are working furiously to salvage a bipartisan infrastructure deal. Despite weeks of closed-door discussions, several issues are still unresolved. Tokyo has reported 3,177 new coronavirus cases, setting an all-time high after the start of the Olympics. More than 206,000 cases have been reported in Tokyo since the pandemic began early last year. Simone Biles will not defend her Olympic title. The American gymnastics superstar has withdrawn from the all-around competition to focus on her mental well-being. Meanwhile, the U.S. leads the medal count with 30. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Nationals scored a victory along with the Giants. The A's lost. The Red Sox game was postponed. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 520 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. A series of big earnings announcements yesterday from Microsoft, Alphabet, and Apple. We're joined now by Bloomberg Quick Take reporter Alex Webb to get into all of this. Alex, good morning. Thank you for taking the time. I want to start with Microsoft here. They exceeded analyst estimates even after some investors got spooked by signs of slowing growth in their cloud computing business. So what is driving the growth for Microsoft?
They've actually managed to post growth across the board, you know, from cloud to LinkedIn to Office suite of software. All of these products have actually been beating analyst expectations. The note of concern is that actually, if you dig a little bit deeper into the numbers, the Azure growth, that's the cloud business, it wasn't as fast as it has been in the previous quarters once currency effects were taken into effect, taken into account. And that, given the stellar growth experienced by Google Cloud and what we've seen in recent quarters from AWS, that's Amazon's cloud business, there's a slight concern that maybe Microsoft is starting to stay off the pace of its rivals.
So does it look like maybe Microsoft won't be able to maintain that growth momentum, or can you tell?
Well, they say they will. That's what the CFO said in the earnings call yesterday. They're adamant they can maintain the current pace. I think with any of these companies, valuations have been bid up so much in recent months that investors get very skittish at the slight indication that maybe this is as good as it's ever going to get. And so they're looking for tiny little wrinkles, and that prompts some profit taking, irrespective of you know, any assertions of bullishness.
Okay, Alex, let's turn to Apple then. They had a record third quarter growth. What's driving that?
We're seeing two things, really. There's a suspicion that we've entered into a super cycle. That's when there's lots and lots of upgrades into the latest generation of iPhones. And, of course, the latest iPhones have 5G. So that is driving the demand for it. But equally, there is a lot of pent-up disposable income that some people at least have saved up during the lockdowns. And now as they emerge from them, they are looking for ways to spend it. iPhones, given the amount of people use them, are a pretty good way of doing that. So you tie those things together and you end up with some remarkable numbers.
But they're also warning that sales growth may be tightening, slowing down. What are you going to be watching for?
Yeah, it's something that in the upcoming quarter, they haven't really issued any guidance. That means that they'll be increasing attention on their suppliers and what the whispers coming out of the supply chain, particularly in places like Taiwan, as we head into this quarter. There was some reporting from Bloomberg that actually they've increased the number of iPhones they're ordering for the rest of the year. Quite often, that's only half a good indicator. They might order a whole bunch of capacity and then not use all of that capacity. So following the supply chain in the coming months will be really important.
All right, let's shift gears now to Alphabet. They also beat analyst estimates thanks to a surge in digital ads, even after the slowdown that you were talking about because of the pandemic. How could they bounce back from that?
Well, Google, don't forget, is an advertising company, and as with any of the classic advertising, you know, companies that make money from advertising, whether it be, you know, Comcast with NBC Universal or Viacom CBS, when there's a slowdown in the economy, the first thing to go first spending to be cut is often marketing spend. And so last year we saw lots of brands go, well, we're going to cut back on that. That impacted Google negatively. Now, as we emerge from the lockdown, and as I mentioned earlier, there is a great deal of disposable income floating around out there. Advertisers are now fighting to ensure that you as a consumer are spending your money on their product. That's great news for the companies that make money from ads, not least Google. And as we look forward to the rest of the earnings from tech, to Facebook.
Okay, so then what are the challenges that you're going to be watching for? We've got about a half a minute here.
I think with Amazon and Facebook, which we're still going to be seeing, which are the earnings yet to come, is whether Amazon's been able to convert its massive revenue growth into profitability, whether it is actually now growing profitably because of the density of its orders. With Facebook, it will have experienced growth, we're sure of that, but is it experiencing pressure because of greater privacy rules or privacy tools on the iPhone? And those comments will be worth looking out for.
All right, we're going to continue to watch all of that with you, Alex. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. Bloomberg Quick Take reporter Alex Webb bringing us up to speed on these earnings that beat estimates but didn't seem to really impress Wall Street. Futures are mixed at this hour. S&P futures now up 7 points. Dow futures down 13. NASDAQ futures up 35.5. The 10-year unchanged for the most part. The 10-year yield at 1.26%. We have much more still to come, and we're going to continue this conversation later this hour when we talk with Gene Munster with Loop Ventures. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. New sweeping guidelines this morning from the CDC as the Delta variant spreads. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The CDC says fully vaccinated people should go back to wearing masks indoors in places where coronavirus cases are soaring. The agency is also recommending masks in schools. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says the decision to readopt masks has not been taken lightly. While it may not be popular, she says it's necessary. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, Renita. New guidelines are also on the way to the White House, Congress, and government agencies. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that part of the story. John.
Amy, the White House has told staff they must again wear masks regardless of vaccination status. A memo says everyone needs to comply starting today. Meantime, the top doctor in the House of Representatives is reimposing mask requirements for lawmakers on the House floor. And finally, President Biden says he's weighing a requirement for all federal workers to get vaccinated or face strict protocols. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And John, the Delta variant's also likely to figure into today's policy decision from the Federal Reserve. More on that from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
It sounds like science fiction, but it's central banking, the impact of a deadly mutation of the coronavirus on America's economy. Bloomberg Economics says Delta variant infections suggest heightened attention on downside economic risks. Today's Fed forecast, no change, a benchmark interest rate near zero, the current pace of asset purchases. But there could be 2022 tapering talk. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, Vinny. Turning to earnings now, we're seeing Apple shares down about 1%. The iPhone maker is warning sales growth may slow and supplies are getting tight. The outlook follows a record-setting third quarter from CEO Tim Cook.
We set a new June quarter revenue record of $81.4 billion, up 36% from last year, and the vast majority of markets we track grew double digits.
CEO Tim Cook says Apple still expects strong double-digit growth in the fourth quarter.
Apple Alphabet shares are up almost 4%. The Google owner beat estimates for profit and revenue, and its cloud unit outperformed as well.
Shares of Microsoft also up about 0.5%. Results topped estimates for a 10th straight quarter.
S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures down 4. NASDAQ futures up 41. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Nathan. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Former President Donald Trump's top allies could face subpoenas in a House committee's investigation into the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Yesterday's public hearing centered on gripping testimony from four officers who helped defend the Capitol against a violent mob of Trump supporters. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, who was black, told lawmakers about an exchange he had with rioters who disputed that President Joe Biden defeated Trump in the last presidential election.
No one had ever called me a while wearing the uniform of a Capitol Police officer.
Officer Harry Dunn, former President Trump once called the mob a loving crowd and a love fest. Capitol Police Sergeant Aquilino Gunnell called Trump's comment a pathetic excuse for something that he helped to create.
I'm still recovering from those hugs and kisses that day that he claimed that so many rioters, terrorists, were assaulting us that day.
Gunnell says Trump's comments were insulting. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, one of just two Republicans willing to serve on the committee, became emotional as he praised the officers for their heroism.
You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days, how we take accountability for that.
Kinzinger also defended sitting on the committee, saying self-governance is at stake. Police have arrested a Maryland man and charged him for making death threats against Dr. Anthony Fauci and his family. Investigators say Thomas Patrick Connolly Jr. emailed Dr. Fauci with threats. President Biden is once again talking with members of a bipartisan group of lawmakers who are trying to come to a consensus on an infrastructure funding bill. The president met with Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, a Democrat, about the progress. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says both believe an agreement can be reached.
They are very much aligned on the path forward. Both feel optimistic about the path forward.
Psaki also says the Biden administration is taking steps to help with Afghans who are translators and contractors to get visas as the U.S. pulls troops out of Afghanistan. Cooler winter weather is helping firefighters in California make progress against the Dixie Fire. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Amy, after losing 3 of 4 in Boston, two of them with blown leads late in games, the Yankees at Tampa Bay, and this time able to hold on. They led the Rays 3-0. Jordan Montgomery, 5 scoreless innings. Gio Urshela drove in 2. But Chad Green gave up a 2-run homer. Zach Britton allowed a run in the 8th, and Aroldis Chapman did put the tying run on the 9th, but the Yanks beat the Rays 4-3. The Mets at Citi Field lost to the Braves 12-5. Atlanta led 10-0 in the 4th inning. Two-run homers by Ozzie Albies and Anthony Abraham, and then a grand slam by Austin Riley. All the runs came off Jared Eichhoff. Two more players tested positive for COVID. Milwaukee's Christian Yelich, Washington's Trey Turner. He learned of it during the Nats game. The Nats' Steven Strasburg will have season-ending neck surgery. He only pitched 5 games this season. After starting but not finishing the Olympic team gymnastics competition, Simone Biles has now taken herself out of tomorrow's all-around event, citing stress and pressure. She admitted her goal now, not gold medals, but her well-being. Next week, all of the individual events, it's not known if Biles will be in them. A little more like it for the U.S. men's basketball team after the loss to France, the first U.S. defeat in 17 years, a 120-66 dismantling of Iran. Katie Ledecky finished an uncharacteristic 5th in the 200-meter freestyle, but she did return to win gold in the first ever 1,500-meter swim. Aaron Rodgers showed up for Green Bay Packers training camp after all the threats that he would not. Texas and Oklahoma both officially submitted applications to leave the Big 12 and join the SEC. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right. Thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
With New York skyscrapers emptied, a handful of finance firms decided to scout alternate office locations in places like New Jersey, Stamford, and Long Island. But the prospect of outposts in outlying areas failed to translate into deals. Instead, a lot of Wall Street firms have ramped up return to office plans at their major hubs. JetBlue Airways hasn't even started its New York to London service, and it's already been forced to trim the schedule. Travel restrictions have hurt demand. The carrier will fly its once daily route between New York's JFK and London's Heathrow starting August 11th. Well, small businesses around New Jersey are gathering together begging former employees to come back to work. News 12 reports a conference of business owners gathered Tuesday. Many believe workers are choosing unemployment checks over jobs. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right. Thank you, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world. I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Record bacon prices are likely to keep on climbing. I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Record bacon prices are likely to keep on climbing.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on government plans to allow vaccinated travelers from the EU and the US in without quarantine.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting the KeyBank Foundation is donating $1.5 million to the Greater Cleveland Food Bank.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It is another big day for earnings with Facebook among those reporting today. We get a preview now from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Facebook is expected to report a nearly 50% increase in revenue for the quarter as its self-serve platform for shoppable ads gains traction among small businesses. Sales of virtual reality headsets could be another bright spot, according to Bloomberg Intelligence, as well as the company's push into direct e-commerce with shops and the rollout of Facebook Pay. Analysts also hope to get an indication of how Facebook expects to be impacted by Apple's revised privacy policy. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, Larry. And other earnings reports we are following. Shares of Starbucks down 0.25%. China same-store sales came in significantly below estimates. And the company said average customer spending also declined there. Visa reported third-quarter profit above analyst estimates. Visa has been aided by the stimulus checks sent directly to consumers, as well as the gradual reopening and recovery of the economy. The firm has also said it's seen increased activity on cards linked to cryptocurrency. Futures are mixed. S&P futures up 7, Dow futures down 13, NASDAQ futures up 41. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. Checking your weather now. Plenty of clouds today. A chance of afternoon showers. We'll see 80 degrees. Showers end tonight down to 65 degrees. More sunshine tomorrow going up to 85. It's 71 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are mixed at the moment. European stocks are rising with positive earnings boosting sentiment. Asian equities were weaker in the overnight session amid Chinese market turbulence. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 6 points. Dow futures down 20 now. NASDAQ futures higher by 34 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.2%. The CAC in Paris up 0.8%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed 1.5% higher. The 10-year Treasury is down 4/32. The yield 1.25%. Yield on the 2-year 0.20%. NYMEX crude up 1%, up 73 cents at $72.38 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 70 cents at 1803.30 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1817 against the dollar, and the yen is at 109.95. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The CDC returned to tighter guidelines for the use of masks, advising that fully vaccinated individuals wear them in public indoor settings where the virus is spreading rapidly. President Joe Biden said he's weighing a requirement for federal workers to get vaccinated. The UK government is set to allow visitors from the US and the European Union to travel to England without needing to quarantine on arrival if they have been fully vaccinated. Simone Biles will not defend her Olympic title in Tokyo. The American gymnastics superstar has withdrawn from the all-around competition to focus on her mental well-being. Meanwhile, the U.S. leads the medal count at 30 with 10 gold. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Nationals scored a victory along with the Giants. The A's lost. The Red Sox game was postponed. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios on Bloomberg Daybreak. And we continue our look at big tech earnings. We're digging now into Apple's record third quarter revenue. We're going to get some insight now. Gene Munster joins us, co-founder of Loop Ventures. Gene, thank you for taking the time with us this morning. That record third quarter revenue from Apple, what is driving that?
I mean, it's a lot about the iPhone. It was up 50% year over year. That's a big deal, not just because of all of the change that we've had in our buying habits around work and learn from anywhere in 5G, but just to put that into perspective is that it's off of a comp where a year ago it was essentially flat. And the iPhone business in the past few years has basically been flat. It goes up a couple percent or down a couple percent per quarter. So this up 50% is really really catches the attention, and that is what was the biggest driver. The second was their services business saw an acceleration in growth as well. And so those two combined are about 70% of their revenue. Other segments also beat, but that's where the real outperformance came from.
But Apple's also warning that its sales growth may be slowing down. What are you going to watch for with that?
So they are, but that was to be expected, is this pace of growth obviously can't continue. 36% last quarter was in the 50% range. And so eventually analysts had next year growing at 3%. And so this slowdown that they talked about when they gave some rough guidance was generally expected. But the market nonetheless never likes to hear that. And shares are not essentially benefiting from, I think, what is going on with the fundamentals of the business. And I think another piece, kind of a fundamental question about that slowdown that you mentioned, is what is Apple and what, for the broader part of the large tech conversation, what is the true sustainable growth rate? And if I can fast forward to 6-12 months down the road, I think that analysts are going to be expecting probably flat to up a little bit for Apple in terms of revenue growth. Ultimately, I think it's going to be closer to 10%. I think they will surprise on the upside in 2022.
Do you find it interesting that Apple decided not to provide those specific revenue forecasts?
No, I didn't see that as anything that caught my attention. They've, over the past year, they've been a little bit more cautious in terms of giving specific guidance. So I think that the context that they gave was kind of consistent with what they've done over the past couple quarters.
In the couple minutes we have left, I'd like to talk about Microsoft, if we could. What is driving the growth there? They also exceeded analyst estimates.
They did a good quarter, maybe not the same 11% upside that Apple posted, but it's actually really just a boring business story. Think about, you know, the three big companies that reported. Google is all about the advertisers. Apple is about consumer and tech, and Microsoft is about the business. And so what's driving that is, across the board, probably the biggest surprise was their cloud business. It's a large business, Azure. That was up 51%. The street was expecting it up 40%. They also had a little bit of outperformance in gaming. But the narrative is pretty consistent, is that these big tech companies are beating across the board.
Can they maintain that momentum, though?
That is the key piece, is can this momentum continue? And the simple answer is that not at the same pace. And so, like we talked about with Apple, is that all of their growth rates are going to be coming down. And when it comes to Microsoft and their position within Office, and that's not going to be tested, they'll continue to be able to raise prices and continue some level of growth. And Google, I think it's the same. Growth rates will come down, but still be at a point where it was higher than it was before the pandemic.
Now, Gene, Amazon's going to be reporting tomorrow. What are you watching for there?
This is about just a broader e-commerce growth, of course. That has been trending above 20%, if they can sustain that, similar topic as the other ones. Another variant that we're going to be looking at is what they're going to be saying around the content spend, obviously what they're doing with MGM and how serious they are about building out their Prime Video library and how much that will cost will be a key topic.
All right. Thank you so much, Gene. Gene Munster, the co-founder of Loop Ventures, with a closer look at those record third quarter revenue earnings from Apple and more. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. We're coming up to 5:54 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, we look at the lighter side of the law, unless you're Brad Pitt. This is about a legal victory for Angelina Jolie in their divorce case. A California appeals court decided that the private judge who decides who gets custody of the couple's two couples' children should be disqualified because that judge failed to sufficiently disclose business relationships with Brad Pitt's attorneys. Like many celebrity couples, Pitt and Jolie opted to hire their own judge. This decision has raised questions about the use of private judges in California cases. And for more on the issue, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to celebrity divorce attorney Christopher Melcher of Walzer Melcher.
Explain this concept. He was a private judge. What does that mean?
In California, under our Constitution, the parties to a case may agree to the appointment of a temporary judge. This is usually somebody who's a retired public judge, as in the case of Judge Outerkirk here, and the Superior Court, our trial court, would then appoint that person to serve and be granted pretty much all the powers that a regular judge would have. The parties get to select someone who they think would be fair and who is experienced in the type of matter that they have. It gives the parties the full attention of that judicial officer rather than going to public court who may have 20 matters on their calendar per day. So this is something that's a feature of pretty much every celebrity case. And certainly the big dollar cases, they are using these temporary judges. But the controversy is that they're paid. And does this create two systems of justice, one for the very wealthy and one for everybody else? And so there has been debate over the years about this, and we saw it crop up in this opinion by the California Court of Appeal that's been critical of that system.
The private judge here failed to reveal a few of his professional relationships with attorneys representing Brad Pitt. Why did the appeals court consider that enough of a breach of ethics to disqualify him?
The court could have found that the failure to disclose these two or three additional matters were technical, weren't enough to cause a reasonable person to entertain doubt as to Judge Outerkirk's impartiality. There were 12 disclosed matters that Angelina and her legal team was accepting of. It makes no sense to me adding these two or three other matters that were really of the same nature would all of a sudden cast doubt as to whether Judge Outerkirk could be impartial. The Court of Appeal said that every matter essentially could count and that these matters count. I think what's happening behind the scenes is more of a criticism of the private judging system than anything that Judge Outerkirk himself did. And this may have been a message to private judges that if you're going to undertake this work and be paid for it, which the Court of Appeal seemed uneasy with that concept, that they better follow the rules to the T.
Now that's Christopher Melcher of Walzer Melcher speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Checking markets this morning, S&P futures are higher by almost 9 points. Dow futures little change now. NASDAQ futures are up 40 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 4/32, yield 1.25% on the 10-year note, yield on the 2-year 0.20%. NYMEX crude up 1%, up 72 cents at $72.37 a barrel. The euro is at 1.1816 against the dollar. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.